the Saturday Light Brigade, and I've been really spending a lot of fun here with 9 people that are across from me right now. Did I count right? 369. I did. And I'm glad you're tuned in. First, thank you for tuning in, period. It's a special day with our IQ Kids Radio debut. Listen imaginatively, and we're so happy to welcome IQ Kids Radio as an affiliate and also as a new service created by SLB and WQED, inviting you to listen imaginatively all day long today. And our Youth Expression Showcase is here, and often we have musicians, we've had choirs, we've had actors and writers. Well, today, and there may be some such people amidst the group that we have, but today, the folks we're talking to are all high school students who have gotten involved in a great service project that I'm eager to learn more about. I know a little bit about what you've done, but I don't know entirely. And before we talk a little bit about this, and if you're interested in the environment, world affairs, and local environmental actions, I think you'll really be curious to learn what these folks have done. But first, let's meet them so you can understand who's here along with me. And Jack, we'll start with you. Can you just introduce yourself, where you go to school, how old you are, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, my name's Jack, and I go to Mount Lebanon High School. I'm 17 years old.
And any shout-outs or hellos to anybody, you're welcome to. If that goes for all of you, not just Jack. Yes, just for Jack.
No, I can't think.
Okay, and sitting next to you, and yeah, you can move that over.
Hi, my name is Fletcher. I go to Obama, and I'm 16. I'm a senior.
Excellent. And no shout-outs or anything?
No.
Don't hesitate. Shout-outs are always... I shout-out to my cats a lot.
Hello, my name is Mariah Howes. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a junior at Pittsburgh Barack Obama Academy. Hi, Mommy.
That's the spirit.
I'm Rosalie Daniels. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at Winchester Thurston School.
Nice to meet you. Have you ever met another Rosalie?
Yes, actually, but I don't know her very well.
I know a Rosalie, and I can't... Oh, there's a very popular folk artist whose name is Rosalie, Rosalie Sorrells. And that's... I was trying to think, where do I know a Rosalie? Next.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I'm 16 years old, and I'm a junior at Mount Lebanon High School. And I want to say hi to my little cousin, Jack, who's listening to the radio right now.
Hi, Jack. It's nice to have you here. Let's say hi to Mariah's mom, too. Hi, again. Hi.
I'm Scott Moore. I'm 17 years old, and I go to Pittsburgh Barack Obama Academy.
Nice to meet you.
Hello. My name is Joel Macklin. I'm 15, and I go to Barack Obama Academy of International Studies.
Hi, my name's Amy. I'm 18, and I go to Swickley Academy. I want to do a shout-out to my dad, because he was so excited to actually listen to me talk.
I'm Hi, Jonah.
Dad. Oh, sorry.
I'm Jonah. I'm also 17, and I also go to the Barack Obama Academy of International Studies, where I'm a senior.
And you grew up listening to the Saturday Light Brigade.
Exactly.
That made me feel so good. Well, you guys are part of a project that I'm not even sure where to begin. Would somebody want to? I mean, I have some ideas of how to present it, but would somebody like to kind of summarize? I mean, just to sort of put things a little bit into focus, this was all part of McGee Woman Cares International Youth Leadership South Asia International Exchange Program, which I'd never heard of before. And what this resulted in was some overseas travel for each of you. And please tell us a little more.
So the project, which is called the South Asia Youth Summit, which was led by, as you said, McGee Women Care International and Amazaji Global Service Learning, had applications out for a trip to Sri Lanka and Nepal, funded by the Pennsylvania State Department Bureau of educational and cultural affairs. So many students applied, and they were trying to draw students from the Pittsburgh area. And we applied, had an interview, and got in. So we traveled to Sri Lanka and Nepal for 3 weeks in August. And the goal was, it was fully funded, but we had to come back and start a project based on environmental stewardship.
Now, Katie, had you been outside of the United States before this trip?
Personally, I had been to Canada, but I don't really feel like that counts as being outside the United States. So we'd all have varying travel experiences. Some of us have been out of the country, some of us haven't, which I haven't. We went to, and it was a really cool experience. We made a lot of great friends, like Nepalese breakdancers we became friends with.
Neat.
Yeah, and so coming back, we decided to form a project based on water conservation because we saw a lot of, especially Nepal, rivers were very, filled with garbage, and, we saw this, very uncleanliness, and, people couldn't drink the water in Nepal. So we decided that in Pittsburgh, we're the city of rivers, so what better project than to come back and start bringing awareness about, keeping our rivers clean and conserving water.
And we tend, at least I think, to be rather unaware of water shortages here in Pittsburgh. We have rivers, we have plentiful water for the most part, right? And we really end up wasting a lot of water in ways that other countries would find remarkably disturbing, I think. Can anybody tell me a little bit about observations in Sri Lanka or Nepal?
Yes. In Nepal, they have, they usually just have cold water. They either have no water or cold water when you take showers. And the only time you got hot water, they had these, what would you call them? On the roof, the sun pillars.
Solar water heaters.
Yeah. Yeah, these solar power things on their roofs, and that's the only way that they provide hot water.
So you, Mariah, face those conditions too when traveling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's very different because here in America, we tend to take advantage with the 20-minute hot showers, and then you go over to Nepal, and it's like a 2-minute quick shower. So it was a lot of things that we had to adapt to, but it was a great experience.
Scott?
In the house that we stayed in, Jonah and I stayed in the same house in Nepal, and we actually didn't have water for 8 hours of the day. So
not just one day, but
right,
that
at
was...
random intervals, electricity and water would cut out, and there would just be none available. And so what they would have to do is put water into buckets and do that for showering. So it was definitely a different experience.
And what were the homes, were they relatively, what were the materials of construction in the homes you were living in?
A lot of the homes in the city that we were in, which is Kathmandu, the capital of Nepal, they were a bit built pretty standard with bricks or stone. So from the outside, a lot of them you could see as being pretty modern, and they had appliances like refrigerators, and I think a few of them had stoves.
Yeah, that's all. I wanted to know that, Rosalie, because you hear about, no water, no electricity, and it's but from the surface, it's like a regular house that you'd see in Pittsburgh or somewhere. It's not like a mud hut or anything. It's a relatively good standard of living from that perspective. However, these resources are either in short supply or allocated very carefully or just not available.
I mean, yeah, it's just the condition that the whole country's in, just with not very... the sanitation systems and availability of water are very different from the United States, but in a lot of ways, the city that we were in had a lot of similarities. So it's just different how they view water, and it's different how they see water as something precious, whereas we think of it as something that just happens every day.
Did anybody see any strong evidence that kids or elderly people find water usage, is it something you kind of know from birth that water is not something to take for granted? Is awareness that strong, Fletcher?
Well, more visible in Sri Lanka is that the government has already like taken more of a charge against what's going on with their water, and they've like implemented restrictions and stuff about how much water you can use and what you can do with it, and like times of the year when water should be restricted, like in the dry seasons and stuff. So I think there we've seen more of a awareness of like conserving water and stuff with all of the people from like youth to elderly. But in Nepal, it's definitely a problem, but they haven't done as much in progression towards fixing it because of it's more prevalent of a problem with electricity there. So they really can't focus on the water. But in Sri Lanka, it's more close to being developed, so they can focus on the water issue.
Now, this had to be, changing your own habits had to be significant, I would think. And Joel, I saw you nod your head. Did anything happen in particular that you can share?
Well, along with many differences in water usage, especially in their sanitation areas, the typical bathrooms in Nepal and Sri Lanka were not with the porcelain throne. There were a lot of holes.
Thank you for putting it that way. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. So
you had holes in the floor or in a chair, like a wooden chair?
There was no chair. There was a lot of squatting to do over holes. But it was an experience that we should all be able to have to connect us all so that we know how each other function on a day-to-day basis.
Was there any concern for that practice and being hygienic? Do you think the pits were lined with clay, or was there a way to prevent groundwater contamination?
Well, they were actually called squatters, and it's a pretty common practice in most of South Asia, so I'm pretty sure they're, you know, very nice ones. Like, it's their version of the toilet, so sanitation-wise, I mean, just like if there was a regular toilet, I feel like, you know, depending on where you are, it can vary. But for the most part, it would have, like, the sewage lining would have just been, like, if there had been a regular.
Yeah, and a lot of people around here have septic systems that probably are, you know, made to a certain spec such that it works, too. But that had to be, I would imagine, a first-time experience for just about everybody here.
Mine was bad. Mine was really bad. We, while on the road and we would stop, there's not many bathrooms. Like, you have to wait till you get to your destination to possibly go to the bathroom. So we call going to the bathroom outside the nature toilet. And I did not know how to go to the bathroom outside. Everybody else did. So they're like, come on, Mariah, you can do it. I'm like, I can't do this. But then now on the third time's a charm. I got it. But they didn't let me live that down the entire trip.
So, who could have ever imagined that would be, you know, something? So I want to hear more about Project Flow. It will do that. I just am also curious if anybody has any other observations just about the trip itself. I guess one question I have is what were you living with host families? I'm curious just how that went, Jonah?
So we were all living with host families. Some of us were in pairs. And some of us were living individually with the host family. And they kind of varied in, like, the level of English that the host family spoke and, like, what the members of the family did. So with my host family in Nepal, for example, my host dad, he was a 27-year-old guy, so he wasn't really, like, I called him my host dad, but he was more of, like, a good friend to me by the end. And his English was really good because he had spent 3 weeks in Canada a couple of years ago. But like his brother and sister-in-law who lived with him, they couldn't speak a word of English. And my host dad sometimes would not come home from work until like 6 or 7 in the evening. And then we would just be sitting with the brother and sister-in-law, and like we had no way of communicating really. So they would kind of like signal if we wanted something to eat or drink, and it was really hard to communicate. But I mean, it was a really good experience.
Yeah, that would be something to try. I've had that experience a couple times where I was with somebody that didn't understand English and I didn't understand their language either. You're nodding your head. Did that happen to you as well?
Well, yeah, I was with Jonah and one day
kind of a little closer to same family, Jack.
Yeah, I was with Jonah, and one day when we got home, they weren't home yet, so we waited outside, and then the two people who didn't speak English came home, and we were going to meet our host dad or friend at a restaurant, and so they just kind of motioned to us, and it was really, like, quick, and we didn't know what was happening, and we were in the back of a taxi with four people driving down the road.
Did they blindfold you?
I don't think so, no. But...
See ya.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something. Well, and the other thing, too, is, well, I guess those from Mount Lebanon, you guys knew each other, and I would imagine that the Obama students knew each other, but you didn't know your peers from other schools very well, right? So, so the whole idea of living with somebody that you don't know is... Well, first, it's probably going to happen in college if you go there, so that's a good experience. But that's something I never experienced in high school, and that had to be a little eye-opening, I'd think. Fletcher, Mariah, Rosalie takes it.
yeah, it was interesting because, like you said, I knew Jack from before a little bit, but the first time we really met each other was last May when we actually met some students who had come to the United States from Sri Lanka, Nepal, and the Maldives.
Neat. Okay.
It was a two-way exchange, so that was the first time we had really met, and we really sort of got to know each other for the first time we were on the trip. So it was like we were getting to know the countries and each other at the same time, which was pretty interesting.
What did these kids think of the United States? Do we want to know?
I mean, I think they were all really fascinated by it. I actually hosted one of the students from the Maldives for 3 weeks, and, like, everything was so exciting. We went to, like, a Pirates game, and we went to, an indoor football game, and he was just, like, so excited about everything, and he'd always say, like, that was awesome after everything we did. And he was just, like, it was, like, the best 3 weeks of his life, and he keeps talking to me, and, like, we still stay in touch, and he always remembers, like, things that, I mean, I... tend to think are sort of insignificant, but he still remembers them as like being some of the funnest things that he's ever done, which is pretty cool to be able to like show him all these things that are new to him and new to like people of his country.
That's amazing, Jonah, to think. That's awesome, actually, to think about. Were any of the kids astonished about ways of life they observed or about perhaps the United States looking different? And I think sometimes we're depicted to the rest of the world in an unkinder light, just based on movies and things. I mean, did anybody have any expressions about how they felt the U.S. was compared to the images they've been shown, or Fletcher?
Well, some of the people we met, especially in like both Nepal and Sri Lanka, more like specifically for Joel Morana, like they never really understood that there were other people in America besides like white people. So like we were like the first African American people they met, and they like thought that was like very interesting. And like
wow. We
were very well like one person specifically in Nepal, his name was Bishal. He expressed to us specifically what he thought like African Americans were on TV and how we were totally different.
Wow. Yeah, they're gonna, you can figure it out by, you know, the images, and that's why it's pretty important. That's one of the reasons we got you guys here, because we want people to know their impressions people have of folks under 20 or of all sorts of different categories and slices that just aren't true. So that's amazing. Anybody else have any comments about surprises from the way students either on visiting the United States or on meeting you that they were surprised about?
I know when I was in Sri Lanka, I stayed with the host family, and they had a 17-year-old daughter named Keshia. I was actually partnered with Rosalie, roommate with Rosalie. And we were talking about food, and they have, like, lots of curry in Sri Lanka, and really, really spicy foods. And so Keshia was saying when she came here, her host family, they went to an Indian restaurant, and so they're like, how hot do you want your food, you know, from 1 to 10? So they're like, okay, we're going to do 10, and so they're like, you know, it's really hot, and she was like, we got it, and it wasn't hot at all. So it's like what they deem hot and what we deem hot is like completely two different things, because I could not take their curry. Like, our host family made curry crab, and it was so good, I couldn't stop eating it, but my lips were burning. So, like, after I got done eating, I had ice, and I was rubbing it around my lips. They were burning. So, like, the food is really, really different. And, but it was good.
What a great experience. Now, Project Flow, and I know the WW, it's got to be for wastewater or water flowing. And, you think about it, or at least from every time I brush my teeth, I feel ashamed because the water's running while I brush my teeth. And I know better than that, right? It's just running right down the drain, but I've not modified my behavior. I also have a cat named Gracie who loves to drink out of the sink. And she takes a long time, so I'll leave the faucet running. And just a trickle, but 4 hours later I'll come back and, you know, she'll have been gone for 3 hours, and it's like all that water. And those are just the immediate salient things I can think about. Tell us, I think your project is designed to get community action here in our region so we can try to be more conscious about this, Scott.
Right, so...
Please don't be mad at me.
No, what's really interesting about that is that you know you're wasting water. And what's staggering is that there's so much water that is unknowingly wasted. And that's exactly what we're trying to combat with Pittsburgh Flow, for lowering our water waste. And so our organization is designed to cut down on the millions of gallons of water that are wasted by Pittsburgh residents unknowingly every day.
How else do we waste water?
Katie.
You guys probably all have, I'll bet there's at least 100 things we could name. Those were the two that hit me first.
A lot of the ways that we're focusing on reducing are just simple things around the household. Like you mentioned, brushing your teeth. That's one of the things that we talk about a lot, is just making sure you turn off the water while you're brushing your teeth and how many gallons that can save. But other activities that most people do every day, like taking showers, washing their hands after they go to the bathroom, washing dishes, washing clothes, all of those can be modified really easily to make sure that you don't waste water. Like if you're washing your dishes, one simple way to make sure that you're not wasting too much is just to make sure your dishwasher is full all the way. And that can end up saving up to 400 gallons every month if you just make sure your loads are full. So simple ways to do this around the household is really what we're targeting to make sure that kids and their families can really reduce their water waste.
Yeah, showers are a really big deal. That's another one for me. I probably spend 4 times as much time as needed in the shower just because I like it. Or I just lose, I don't know, when you wake up and you're kind of half asleep. If you shower in the morning, it's like, how long have I been in here? You know, I don't want to go out. That's a big one, I think.
And the interesting thing about showers is that in many other countries, a shower is just a form of hygiene. It's just something you do to make sure you're clean. And I think in the U.S., I speak for many people when I say a shower is just something that helps me wake up in the morning and get out of bed and start my day off right. And it's... I put on music when I'm in the shower. It's something, it's completely different here than in other countries. And that's even Europe. It's water so expensive in Europe that many people just take a shower for the hygienic purpose.
Now, these are things, well, anything else inside the house? Laundry, I would imagine they're like low flow settings on, or perhaps we don't need to wash a shirt when it's only been worn for an hour or two, if it's still, or maybe it could be fluffed up in the dryer, right? Rather than, I'm just sort of thinking
of. Or make sure the load is full. Like, don't just wash a shirt and then
there be nothing else in there but the shirt. Like, wash, like, make sure the load is full so you're not wasting a whole lot of water.
And in addition to, like, laundry, when you're washing, like, dishes and stuff, you should make sure that load is full. And, like, actually, we've been working a lot with, like, which one's better for, like, saving water, whether it's the dishwasher or hand washing. And sometimes it's actually better to just use a dishwasher with a full load, because hand washing can waste a lot of water with rinsing and stuff like that.
I know when I do dishes with my wife, I like to, I call them soakers. I just put a little water in a pan and I leave it soak overnight, hoping actually that the pan fairy will clean it by the time I wake up. But honestly, that's probably a good thing to do, right? If you've got a lot built up, to not have the water running constantly as you continue to scrub. Did you see does anybody know the term gray water at all? I don't know if that's used as much. Gray water would be finding other uses for things like relatively clean water, like water that isn't perfect enough to drink, but might be perfect enough to wash clothes or help with a toilet flush. I've never felt we've adopted that in the United States as much as we could, and it looks like you've heard a little bit about it.
Well, what we've discovered through a little research is that you don't need the perfect clean water, drinking water, to do other household chores, like, say, watering your garden or just watering your grass. You can use rainwater. You can use gray water, as you said. Yeah. And your plants and grass won't really suffer. And that's just one small step that can create a huge revolution if you can get more people to do it.
Yeah, like rain barrels is a good example, too. I was just going to ask you about things outside the house that you could do, and then I want to talk also just about your concerted plan to get an entire community turned around on this, because I know you've been working on it. But outside the house, are there things?
One of the things we really looked into initially, and we've continued to look into, are rain barrels, as you said, because, I mean, that's one of the glaringly almost obvious but not as well known ways you can use rainwater, which you might not want to drink, but it's completely effective for, like, watering your plants and doing outside chores. So, yeah, that's one of the big ways we've discussed about how people can, you know, use, you know, save water, but still, you know, the plants don't need your drinking water to function. So, I mean, I think we've actually collected some rain barrels, and we're going to be using them incorporating them into our project later this month, which, as I know, we're going to talk about that a little more in a second. So,
yeah, and the thing about rain barrels, too, is it keeps that water out of our storm systems, and sometimes the systems are commingled with sanitary waste, too. So I know that's outside of the scope of what you're doing, but it's still really important. Jenna?
Yeah. Another thing that, like, we've really looked into is the water system in the city of Pittsburgh, and how it's like a 100-year-old system. The pipes are 100 years old that are still flowing through the streets. And that's one of the big problems. So the way it works in Pittsburgh is that the rainwater and the water from houses, they all go to the same place. So when it rains a lot, then, like, the sewage, it all comes to a big collection bin in Alcosan. And when it rains a lot, then that collection bin fills up, and they have to let out some of the water out, which really can harm the environment because they just let it out. So that's something that we're really working on. If you can reduce, like, if you have a rain barrel to collect water, then less water is going to go into that sewage system, and they will have to let the water out at Alcosan less often, which is better for the environment.
Yeah, I meant to note this earlier, by the way. If you have a question of these kids, you can call us 412-586-6300 or 1-888-SLBRADIO. If you do have a question, I meant to say that earlier. My apologies. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Welcome if you're listening at iqkidsradio.org, a new affiliate and a new service created by SLB in collaboration with WQED. You might be curious about ways to save water. Maybe you have an idea about ways to do it. Or you might just want to talk a little bit about Nepal or Sri Lanka based on your own experiences. Feel free to call us toll free. It's 888-752-7234. A big part of this is just getting to the source, right? Behavioral issues. And I know you've developed, or I think are, I don't know if it's done yet or not, but I'm curious about the plan that you've put together. Getting people to change behavior and to, especially in this case, because I think there probably is a perception that there's no need to save water, that it's as ubiquitous as water. I mean, you just think about it in Pittsburgh, we've got it everywhere. What's the plan?
Part of our plan is something that we saw when we were in Nepal and Sri Lanka, which is working with the youth in the city and people who are in elementary or middle school. So that's our first step of our action plan, and it's going to start this week. We're actually going to be visiting local middle schools and talking to 6th and 7th graders and presenting to them really easy ways to save water. And we know it's very easy to just sort of go through your day without even thinking about how to turn off the faucet if you're not using it so much or taking shorter showers. So hopefully by going and contacting directly youth, they can sort of bring that forward through their generation and tell their friends, tell their families. So we're hoping that that part of our project is sort of going to spread out to the rest of the community.
How did you come up with that?
I think just like the rest of the plan, it actually started in our first layover on the way to Nepal. We were in the DC airport for like 8 hours just waiting for our next flight. And we were just brainstorming ideas. And something that came up pretty early was in order to really like change a community, you have to start with kids. Because something that we've learned just growing up is that if someone tells a kid something and they're really excited about it, then they're going to go home and tell their parents, Mom, we have to do this. Mom, we have to do this. They're really going to get their families behind it, and they're going to make their families want to do it too. So that kind of was our plan from the beginning, to talk to kids first about changing what they do, and then they can change the community.
That's, I think, really important. You know, I didn't learn about pH until I think I was a senior in high school. You guys, I think, knew that by third grade, right? Or maybe second grade. I didn't learn about the water cycle, the hydrogeologic cycle, till I was in college. And I think you guys know it by seventh or eighth grade, maybe. It's a really good strategy to try to help kids get that message first. So you're going to be going to middle schools. Will you get to elementary schools, do you think, even younger kids?
No, we're really just looking into the 6th and 7th graders, but we are actually hosting a water day on the 26th of January, where it is kid-friendly also, and we want the adults to come out and bring their families, and we will have some speakers, some presentations, just and some raffling off of the rain barrels, just so people can get a bigger understanding of what we're trying to do and the issue on the water waste.
Well, that is pretty, to quote your host families, that's pretty awesome. Where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Kappa, downtown Pittsburgh Kappa. I believe it's at 1 o'clock. Am I right? 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock?
And that's on Saturday, 26th. January 26th.
Yes.
So that's a good timing, too. You've got 3 weeks. We'll continue to promote that and talk about it. It's free, and it starts at 1?
1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Great. So you can come with your family and learn about these things and maybe walk away with a rain barrel or at least get an idea of what one is. What other awareness events are coming up? Or is there another one planned? That's the first. Hopefully, more to come.
Not specifically. This is all we have planned for right now. We're actually working on the project kind of in conjunction with McGee Women Care International, mm-hmm. based on a grant that we received at the beginning of the year. So we planned out specifically kind of what we're going to do with the money based on a January deadline. So after that, if things continue, we'll kind of have to rethink things. But at this point, that's all we have planned.
Well, and that's good. I mean, I was curious about that because you have a finite time to get it done and move on and hopefully leave your mark. Has anybody ever thought, like, about measuring how much water you use and sort of so you can keep track of whether you're getting any better or not? It never occurred to me. There's a water meter in our house that I suppose I could look at every 7 days to see if my you can tell I have an engineering degree, huh? But I would look at it, maybe plot it and see. I don't know how accurate it is, but that would be pretty cool to see whether you were having some kind of impact as you do it.
It's actually pretty easy if you want to look at how much water your family's using in a month. So I was curious as to, I was thinking about after we sort of got our plan going and I started telling my family, you know, to take shorter showers, to hopefully wash less clothes, to see if it was actually making an impact on our water bill. So it's really easy. Most people who either get their bills online or get them in the mail, it tells you exactly how much water in gallons you're using. And the way I looked at it was looking at the previous months compared to this past month in December, and actually just looking at taking shorter showers, having everyone in my family of five take 8 minute showers or less, can save a couple hundred gallons a month.
Oh, you could put a timer in there for people like Scott and me that like lose track of time, right? You put a timer in the shower. That sounds awfully draconian, but you do lose track. I know there are times I forget how long I'm doing that. That'd be a way to do it, too. And you're right, just looking, most of Pittsburgh has electronic water meters that are read remotely, so they're going to be pretty accurate when the meter reader does his or her thing. It's a good idea. Does anybody else have anything? There's one more question I have for each of you, but is there anything else you'd like to add about the program in general or the experiences that you... maybe even something you forgot to say, but just something else to add. And is there anybody you'd like to thank for helping to make this experience work?
I'd just like to thank the adults that came on the trip with us, actually Matt and Mara, who are both teachers at local Pittsburgh schools, who are here with us today. And they've sort of been helping us with our project and making sure that it gets off to a good start. And also Nicole at McGee Women Care and Anna at Amazaji, who've also been making sure that our international travels have been going safely. So all of these adults, while this is a teen-driven group, they've been giving us support and making sure that our activities get off to a good start.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mara is from Pittsburgh Kappa, right? And Matt is from Zwickley Academy. So you're sponsoring teachers are not from your own schools. And I don't know if that's just sort of accidental or I don't think that's done by design, right? It's just they must be very passionate about this program as well. Do you think that other Pittsburgh students will have a chance to do something similar? Will McGee do this again?
I believe the grant was renewed, so they are looking for a new group of 10 people to go abroad to Nepal and Sri Lanka for the coming year.
Excellent. Do you guys have a Facebook page or a website or anything that people can learn more about what you're doing as a group, or maybe if kids wanted to ask you more? I know we've linked to McGee's page about the program, but what about you guys in terms of keeping yourself tight?
Actually, we don't have a Facebook page or a website, but we do have an email where we can obviously take any questions or talk to any kids who are interested with our programs at Water Day or Education Week, and that email is pittsburghflow@gmail.com, and that's sort of how we keep connected as a group and keep in contact with local organizations.
Perfect. I said I had one more question, and I think it's on everybody's mind too. I'm just curious what you might do after high school, if you've thought about it yet. I know that's a trite question, but there's a lot of folks that aren't anywhere near students, and just as we were talking about correcting perceptions, you know, I'd like to show a little reality. So why don't we start? Well, we can start anywhere.
Okay, I'll start.
That's Mariah.
Okay, consider I'm only a junior. I still have one more year left to go. But
you always have time. Do you know, we talked to an actor today from England, and I asked him when he knew he wanted to be an actor. And he became an actor at the age of 36. He had been a teacher up until then. And he's in the lead of an international touring company that's coming to Pittsburgh tomorrow. The play is called We're Going on a Bear Hunt, and it's at the Byam. And I asked that question of him, and I was astonished. You know, he decided at the age of 36. So everything's changeable. So,
I do want to go to Temple University and study in psychology. I've had two sisters who have graduated from there, and I really enjoy the area. So that's what I plan to do after high school.
How come psychology?
It's just something I've taken an interest in. I really like to study like how people think and the reason why people do the things that they do. They actually took the class away right before I became an 11th grader when I was able to take the class. So I'm actually going to just start taking the classes at CCAC aside from my school, and so I can get a feel for it before I do go off to college.
There is a radio program called Freakonomics. I don't know if anybody knows it, but it's about behavioral economics, why people do the things they do. I think you'd really like it. I find it very fascinating when I listen to it. Who's next? We heard from Mariah. Jack.
Actually, next year I got accepted into a volunteer program called City Year. So I'll be working in inner city schools in Milwaukee, just kind of helping students kind of like be motivated to go to school and to stay in school and to do well in school. So I'll be working there next year and then go to college the year after that, just once I get more of a feel of what I really want to do. So
that's terrific. You know, again, telling stories from my own childhood, I can remember one person in my entire circle of friends that decided he wanted to wait a year before going to school, and he was like not at all, absolutely not an outcast, but a real outlier. There was like nobody else that did that, and I sometimes wish I had done that. You know, everybody has different feelings about that, but that's good to do it. How come Milwaukee is where they assigned you?
No, I just chose Milwaukee just because it's a part of the country that I've never really been to before. It's funny, I've actually traveled more outside of the country than I have within the United States. Yeah. I like water, obviously, and Milwaukee's on a lake, and I've heard it's a really nice city, but cold in the winter. So I figured it would be an interesting place to live for a year.
Excellent. Here's Amy.
Yeah, so I'm a senior, so I'll be going to college next year, and I hope to study engineering. And probably I either get a certificate or a double major in either business or economics.
Excellent. Very good. Do you know where you want to go?
Not yet. I've applied to a lot of schools, and I've gotten to some, but I'm still very up in the air and just, you know, waiting to see what happens.
Anybody encouraging you to decide?
My parents, yeah. I think they'd like to know, but I will not. Need to take my time because I feel like it's a very life-changing decision, so I don't want to rush it.
I think it's appropriate to. I remember applying and getting accepted to six schools and three in one major, three in a very different major, and it took me a while. And I could also remember sort of being nagged about it quite a bit. How about you, Joel?
Well, I'm a sophomore right now, but I'm currently preparing to go to one of these service academies, and that's just something I really want to do. And so I'm doing anything I can now to prepare me for that application process.
Scott's got it all figured out. I'm guessing economics, because I saw his face light up when I said behavioral economics.
Yeah, I'm desperate to study economics, even though I haven't taken any courses in high school. And I'm really looking forward to going to college and learning more about economics. It's a field I'm passionate about.
What year are you in again?
I'm a senior as well, my applications are submitted, and I just have to wait and find out where I'm accepted and where I'm going to go.
Do you want to reveal your preferred place, or we can keep it a secret?
No, I would not.
That's fine. Don't want to spoil it. I hope it comes true.
I'm still not really sure what I want to do in college and after college, but especially after going on the trip, I think I might want to do something in the international sphere, especially that the trip was sponsored by the State Department. I think it'd be really cool to work for the State Department in one of their international offices.
Excellent. Well, hopefully that will work out. That was Amy, by the way.
Similarly to Amy, I'm also kind of looking into the international relations, political science field. I'm also in the midst of applying to schools. Well, I've officially finished applying to schools. I've been accepted to some, and I'm still waiting on others. So.
Isn't it nice to be done applying?
Yeah, it's very, very nice. But in the spring, I'll kind of weigh my options and see what fits best.
Good. Mariah?
I went first.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm sorry, Mariah. I remember we talked about psychology and Temple and your sisters. I'm still here. I mentioned anybody, I got about 4 hours sleep. You probably got Fletcher.
I think I'm going to probably study environmental sciences or biology, and I'm a senior as well, so I've already filled out all my applications. I'm kind of waiting on those to come back, and hopefully I get accepted in some. Also, I'm waiting for the results of my Abby diploma test, so yeah.
Great. And then finally, Jonah?
Yeah, well, next year I'm looking at going to college, and I'm not sure where yet or what I want to study, but after that, I'm thinking about starting up a non-for-profit to help youth, and I'm not really sure what kind of focus it's going to have yet, but I'd like to do something in that sphere, and then also start up a restaurant. So.
Excellent. Do you cook?
Yeah, I do.
And do you know what? Well, I don't want to give away. Do you have a definite plan?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Not like fruit burritos or anything like that. They say every great idea is the intersection of two other great ideas. So, you know, yogurt, smoothies, and burritos.
Maybe
you know.
Something like that.
Well, good. And if you're working with a nonprofit, if I can help, let me know, because that's a lot of what I've turned to over the last 15 years or so. Thank you all for being here. You're inspirational, truly. And if you go to Pittsburgh, if you email pittsburghflow@gmail.com, I know you'll get an answer, and you can also show up Kappa January 26th. There's no excuse. You're right across the street from PNC Park. It's not hard to park downtown or take transit to get there and learn about what these folks have in mind in terms of encouraging you to use less water. Thanks to all of you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, along with 9 talented folks and Ricky Berger and Andy Collier. It's 11 o'clock. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show.